Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome into Cody and Gold. 96.5 The Fan. Cody Tapp with you. Alex still traveling. I don't think he gets back until later in the weekend. And Heisler will join me for the first hour and a half of the show today. Drew Nixon on the other side of the glass. Have a kind of a mix of people today. Heis! Thanks for coming in for a little bit.
It's like riding a bike, except I was never particularly good at riding a bike.
No? Still, how do your kids at it?
You know what's funny is that my oldest has a bike. Like, we even went and got one of those, Guardian bikes that I found on, like, Facebook Marketplace for him to take that next step. And then, for whatever reason, the timing didn't work out, and he still has not gotten on the bike. He's in first grade. He should know how to ride a real man's bike now.
Yeah, I guess, but my kids aren't great at it. They're too scared. They like the bike. They'll get on the bike. But like the free of training wheels, free and easy, they just, that still.
The big thing is that I think the problem is that when you're riding a bike beforehand and you have the training wheels, you can just stop pedaling and then you're fine. So you have to trick your brain. Like, you have to keep pedaling. If not, use the brake, and that's what allows it. So that's the part that we're trying to work through.
Yeah, it's a process. We'll get there. We got plenty of stuff to get to. Our NFL insider, Vinny Pasquantino, will join us. Coming up at 10:30, seemed like it was a slightly busy week for his New York Jets. Plus, he had some other stuff going on, I think, so we got to talk about that. And he could win a Silver Slugger tonight.
That's fun.
So that's cool. Do they give you a heads up? They tell you whether you won or not, or you got to find out like the rest of us? I don't know if he would break that news for us, but at least interesting to find that out from Vinny. Coming up at 10:30, the NL side was last night. I wanted to start off with last night's game.
Yeah.
Because the Broncos are the Chiefs' opponent coming up in a week and a half. Or a week from Sunday-ish, 325 next week. I'm sorry. And maybe I'll regret these words next week when they play each other. If you are going to try to convince me today that after watching Denver for the second straight week, if I'm supposed to take that team serious, why? Bo Nix stinks. And I mean that. I mean that with my chest. Not like he'll get better. He's no good. He is not a good quarterback. He is below average. He's not awful. He's not out there looking like, Kenny Pickett for the couple of snaps he took last night. He's not terrible, but he is certainly not good. And they are not a good offense. The Raiders defense is bad. They had struggled a huge chunk of the year. Their defense controlled the entire game. Mm-hmm. Nick Benito was a stud. They had problems. And look, am I a little afraid of Nick Benito in a week and a half? Sure, that's fine. But, like, in what universe are the Chiefs losing to a team who I think genuinely had to work hard to get 10 points last night while constantly be gifted the ball back by their defense? It doesn't make any sense to me. I don't fear them.
No, you should.
I know they're 8-2, and I don't
you
fear
shouldn't,
them.
You shouldn't fear them. There is something, I think, to be said. How many years did we have the conversation before Mahomes got here about Alex Smith and the value of the quarterback win?
Yeah.
And what it ultimately all means, like how much
winning matters. I'm not saying it's not nothing. But.
No, and you could tell that there is... They're coached up better than they were before. They're more disciplined than they were before. And they continue to find unbelievable ways to pull off close games. I think part of that matters. But if you're asking me purely from a talent level, purely from an experience level, the Chiefs should beat them both times they face each other. And I think the betting public, and I think sportsbooks, if you're looking at it as a metric to try and evaluate where everybody views Kansas City relative to Denver, the Chiefs are still the favorites in some books to be able to win the division. I don't look at it as anything they should be afraid of, but I also wouldn't be surprised if they split the series because Kansas City also has the ability to do that too and lose games that they absolutely deserve to win.
I know. It did against the Jags and some others. It's just, and I know they have 8 wins. I know they're 8-2. I really genuinely understand that.
But they do feel like they kind of have that horseshoe up there, you know what, and it's just, you pull it out and all of a sudden there's rainbows.
I mean, last night's game was one of the ugliest football games I've watched all year.
Yeah, but good teams still have to win those games, Cody.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I don't think they're a bad team, but they're not on the Chiefs level unless the Chiefs bring their level down to them.
I think what the issue I'm having in the sense that I think they're winning both games against the Denver Broncos, despite the fact that, again, their defensive line is very good. Nick Bonito created pressures on what felt like 80% of the snaps last night, and they ruined Geno Smith's day. I'll point out, the Raiders' offensive line is quite bad.
Yeah, it's garbage.
The Chiefs' offensive line is significantly better, although we don't know if it's going to be Jalen Moore or Josh Simmons at left tackle. We probably won't know that for another week. We won't have any sense of the way they're or what Juwan Taylor's ankle looks like. I think the reporting is that he's probably fine. The thing that I'm having a hard time getting past for them is I've watched Bo Nix now play probably 5 or 6 times this year where I've seen a decent chunk of his play. He has not in any of those games looked good except for like 6 minutes to go in the fourth quarter when he like turns it on
back. Right.
Yeah. And so like, there's been a couple of like tiny windows of time and when he looks good, but I'm having a hard time erasing the first 3.5 quarters where it doesn't look like his team can move the ball. And some of this is not his fault. I don't particularly like their weapons. The number one wide receiver being Cortland Sutton is not like a dangerous team. When Troy Franklin and Pat Bryant and those are your second and third best weapons, you're just not deep offensively. So like some of it genuinely is the fact that I don't think that they're deep enough offensively to like cause real problems. Man, I watched that team last night and like no chance until next Sunday will I be taking Denver serious because there'll be no game in between it. I'm assuming the Chiefs are going to win by, I don't know, 7. Now, I will say Denver's got a good chance. They're good at making the game ugly. Heiss. So I'll give them credit there. Does that count for something?
Yes, at home. Although, going back to what I talked about before, what do you know what the line is for next week's game? What would you guess it would be in Denver?
5.5.
5.5 to the Chiefs? It's a little aggressive. No, it's 3.5, depending on where you look. Which is
I was thinking maybe last night's game swung it a little.
It could have. Yeah, it's every indication that this is how they view the Broncos.
So at home, they'd be a 5-point favorite. Because it's like 1.6 points to the home. Is that what they say on this end?
I'd say it would probably be anywhere along between 4.5 and 5.5. Yeah. But again, I there's not a fear, both from the betting public, from Chiefs fans. If you talk to Chiefs fans right now, they're not, I don't think they're afraid of any team. And this is,
I know it's weird because they're 5-4. I get it.
They're 5-4, but it's everything that went right that shouldn't have gone right happened last year. They're kind of on the wrong side of like the luck metrics from what we've seen this year. Like they've just had some games that probably in most other years would have flipped their way. Jacksonville game, there was an opportunity that we expected them to win. They didn't win. The Buffalo game, probably most years. I know that they've had their struggles against Buffalo in the regular season, but there's an expectation that they win this game.
Losing a game in Buffalo is not, like, that one doesn't bother me.
It shouldn't.
Other than they didn't play.
It's the Bills Super Bowl every year.
And they didn't play well. So, okay, it bothers me a little that they just played a bad football
game. Right. No, if Mahomes goes into Denver and for the second time, in his career, his NFL career, he throws for under 50% completion percentage and multiple interceptions.
Sure, then we'll have a conversation.
Then there's absolutely worth having a conversation. But I don't think there's an expectation that that's what's going to happen. It felt much more of an anomaly as opposed to this is a concern.
I mean, admittedly, the Raiders are awful. And that is obviously skewing my opinion on this because they're the worst team in football. Maybe. Or they're one of the worst teams
in Broncos,
football.
The Broncos, let me give you a comparison sake. Like, 2 games that the Green Bay Packers, which I think many people look at them in the NFC is saying, like, if you're looking at a team besides maybe the Eagles, that Chiefs, if they're looking ahead to a possible Super Bowl matchup, should be concerned about. Maybe the Rams at this point are also part of that conversation. Lions, those are those four teams. But the Packers, especially this year, the loss at home to Carolina, the loss in week three to the Cleveland Browns. Like,
Broncos escaped those games.
Correct. But I see a lot of similarities there between the team that plays down to their level of competition. And Denver has had some great opportunities this year where they've gone and just demolished teams that they probably should have played a little bit closer, given everything that we've seen from them this year. But you can't do that against Kansas City, especially if you're now the top dog and Kansas City is chasing you. I mean, that's just a reversal script that we're just not used to and are accustomed to seeing.
Even if they win the division, here's the thing. Even if Denver wins the division, which they certainly have a good shot at doing, they've got a 2-game lead in it. Although I do like that the 2-game lead can be erased by games in which you play them.
Correct.
So you can completely wipe it out and have the tiebreaker simply by beating Denver. Then you only got to be better than them in the other games.
Right. And then the concern about the Chargers no longer really exists from the first couple weeks of the season.
It's not, honestly, here's the thing about the Chargers is, if the Chargers' offensive line was healthy the entire year, I actually think they would be a decent threat. I would very much consider them a chance to win the AFC West. My problem is I've watched them a couple times this year without their two starting tackles, and it ain't good.
No.
Right? And so I think that they're just a different team. I just don't think most teams can't survive without their two starting tackles.
And it does feel like it happens to them every year.
Yeah, yeah. And so, like, I actually think the roster construction on their end's not bad. I think they got hurt, and that's unfortunate for them. Broncos just feel like they've been hit with a luck stick. 13-11 over the Jets, 10-7 over the Raiders, 18-15 over Houston, and 33-32 over Giants are four of the wins they have in winning seven consecutive games. I don't know.
If you're looking,
if
we're actually looking at luck rankings, which is a metric that the team rankings puts together, the Broncos are tied with the Tampa Bay Bucks this year for the luckiest team in the NFL. They have a 1.7 luck rating. Kansas City is bottom six right now, minus 1.2. Only teams worse than them, they're tied with Baltimore and Dallas and Miami. Only teams that are worse in the luck ratings are Houston at minus 1.7 and the New York Jets, which is par for the course. Ask Vinny about that too. Vinny, are you surprised that the New York Jets are the most unlucky team in football? No, it's happened my whole life.
Yeah, that's unfortunate for Vinny. You know, he gets named Vinny, sees Vinny Testaverde exists, and then unfortunately for him, has to spend a lifetime being a Jets fan. Although in fairness,
the DG Jets.
Well, we'll get an opinion of him and the Jets moves and what they're going to do with those picks. Yesterday, Schefter wasn't trying to even tamp down the fire that they would try to use all those picks to go trade for a guy like Joe Burrow. Even though I'll admit that seems like a bit of a stretch, at least on that end. We'll talk about that with Vinny coming up in 20 minutes. Plus an injury in the NFC that looks a little bit different. That's now maybe casting some light in a decision I think would be wrong, but we got you in.
Yeah.
Drew's here. Feels like a good time to talk a little college football for really two things at once. One, I want to talk about Indiana in a minute because I think their story closely aligns with what other schools like Missouri and Kansas and these others would love to emulate, because Indiana's football history is that of one of the worst Power Five teams that ever existed.
It's not one of the worst. It's the worst.
They have
they're
the most
losingest program in college football history.
And now they're the number two ranked team in the college football playoff. And would, as of today, have a bye going into the college football playoff and would be one of the teams who'd be expected to have an opportunity to win a national championship. So it's insane. I guess part of what's interesting about this is Indiana did what you're supposed to do. You found success and a guy, and you just do whatever you can to pay him. And I can't, like, Missouri is in big trouble because they are going to have to fight really hard to keep Drinkwitz.
Yes.
Like, it is going to be a dogfight. LSU is going to call, and Florida is going to call, and these other schools are going to call, and they're going to offer a ton of money.
And they should call, by the way. I think he's deserving of those opportunities.
But it's like, it's going to be hard for Missouri to keep their guy. In Indiana, at least, maybe they just found the right guy, then Cignetti doesn't want to leave. But, like, they already locked up their guy, and they at least get to sit on their hands for a little bit. And if you can establish yourself as a program, then you can attract a better coach if it comes that way. I don't know where Missouri is. If Drinkwitz left, what level of coach they attract, I think they might unfortunately be back in the, like, where they hired Drinkwitz, who wasn't a, like, that wasn't the biggest name.
It wasn't the biggest name, but it was a strategic move with some. And I remember too, as somebody who follows Indiana football very closely, with somebody like Cignetti, they completely changed the process for how they look for a head coach. They did the same thing in basketball, where they actually went a little bit more analytically driven and found several trends that aligned with winning programs across multiple sections of college sports. And the other thing too that they found in Cignetti that I think is what's more fascinating, besides the part that Missouri could be looking for their version of it if Drinkwitz decides to leave, is every program right now that is on the fritz trying to evaluate what's next, maybe with the exception of Wisconsin, because Wisconsin is going to keep Luke Fickell for another year and then just add more to their athletic budget. I remember a conversation I actually had when I used to work here back during the 6-10 days, and John Smoltz was on, and this was actually something productive that John Smoltz said as opposed to what he said on television for the last several months.
He's not the world's...
No. That's a whole conversation. But he said it to the point of like when teams are chasing power or teams are chasing velocity as baseball started to evolve, that you can't just get Steph Curry. Like Steph Curry is Steph Curry, is the greatest shooter that ever lived. You're not just going to be able to find that in the form of 100 plus mile per hour pitchers or guys that are going to hit 50 bombs. Maybe one exists, but you're not going to constantly chase it. The Cignetti effect in college football has changed how big time programs are evaluating what they're expected to do with a head coach and then turn it around. There's no leeway anymore, Cody. Like he did it in a year. He just got rid of most of his program and just brought in guys from his old program at JMU, filled it in with the rest of transfer portal guys, and made it work. 95% of the time, it doesn't work. So you're chasing a system that is set up to fail, but because it worked for one guy, that's what every other college is now trying to obtain and chase.
I know. I think that's a really good point, because what Kurt Cignetti's kind of done is what Dion was saying he was going to do, I think, in some ways, where he came in, he's going to bring in everything that's going to change.
But Cignetti just wasn't a Richard about it.
Correct. Which I think it's interesting.
Although I did like his opening press conference, said, I win. Look me up.
He didn't say Google me. He did say Google me, and there's a funny backstory behind that too. But yes, it's true. He wins. You can Google him. You can look it up.
I feel like too for the way that, to your point about what he's done, is he has now all of a sudden started a trend of, not only with NIL, but now that Kurt Cignetti's proved it, you can win anywhere if you have the resources. That's why Matt Rhule is staying at Nebraska. That's why if Lane Kiffin stays at Ole Miss, if you're Lane Kiffin, why would you leave when you have Ole Miss as a national title contender? Maybe because you think a Florida job is better or whatever, but
it's purely ego at that point.
But is it really a better job than what you have now? Which I think to why Kurt Cignetti didn't leave was, not only did he get paid a little bit more, but I have got this team to be in a better spot than where Penn State is currently. Why would I 100%. Leave and try to redo the entire thing that I've done when I've got what I have right here? And Indiana's they're dedicating more resources
because
there.
Indiana is the argument, but like college football changed a lot. NIL helped.
It's changed so much in the last 2 years.
It is not solved.
You can win anywhere.
It has not changed the imbalance, because like, I mean, we can just go through the conferences and the national champions. It hasn't fully changed the imbalance. I had said this before, Heiss, and I do really mean this. In order for me to genuinely believe, though, that NIL is working and you can win anywhere and jobs are the same just as long as you got them up and running, and that you shouldn't go run for Florida or Penn State where you could get money and get resources that you know that will exist through time, is I actually need one of these teams to win it. I can't have another Alabama, Michigan, Ohio State, Notre Dame champion. I need a team like Indiana to win it to prove to the rest of the league that you can just stay at a job, win at a job, and win consistently there, and actually win a national championship. Because if you're just Kirk Ferentz, and you just sit at your job, and you win, but you don't go anywhere, and you can't win a title, and you're just kind of stuck, well, then college football's the same.
I think,
like, you can't just be a 1 or 2 year thing. You got to actually like close the deal.
So you're saying for sure championship is how you evaluate it, not necessarily college football playoff appearances, getting your seat at the
table.
Weird,
because like that's such a small sample size of what college football's been. It's like making the NCAA tournament. It'd be hard for me to imagine that if nobody ever from a smaller school, and smaller being like, not the 10, 15 schools you can name who won the national championship.
Right. It's not like St. Peter's like getting to the Final Four.
No, I don't like Indiana's the number 2 ranked team in the country.
Right. And have been for the last 5, 6 weeks.
And we're a college football playoff team the year before. And so like, But it can't just be, because then that's just still college sports. College sports is, it's the only sport, I think, other than Premier League soccer, sometimes it does this, that celebrates not winning anything. We did it. We won some games, and it was more than normal.
Or we didn't get demoted.
Yeah, yeah. We didn't get demoted. Nailed it. And you're like, it's the only sport that's like, you didn't win the championship, or you, and they don't care if you win your league sometimes. They just like, they don't celebrate. Like, in the NFL, nobody really celebrates winning your division. They care if you want to, like, an AFC championship or a Super Bowl.
Right, there's no champagne posting celebration.
Yeah, so, like, it's the only one, like, baseball at least celebrates divisions. They are at least proud of that moment.
Which, by the way, if you go from last to first in your division in the NFL, you should absolutely get a champagne celebration.
Yeah, sure. But it's like, football or college sports in general, they, like, you'll see, how many times you'll see 8-5. What a 8-4. What a year. Really did. I'm like, what did you accomplish? You got to the Alamo Bowl. You beat a couple of decent teams. Okay, you won 66% of
your
games.
Coach is trying to get an extension. That's what's happening.
But it's like
a surprise.
But because college has an imbalance, I actually don't think it's wrong in a weird way. Because the system is designed for you not to win.
Right, or if you're a team.
Or it hasn't been.
Correct. But I think it could apply to the NCAA tournament, too. If you haven't made it in X amount of years, and it's the program's first time in a decade or two, then yes, celebrate it. It shouldn't be the end-all, be-all, but feel confident about it. I was trying to think of teams that you were talking about that were not amongst the Michigans and the Georgias and the Alabama. What about Washington from a year ago? They didn't win it, but they came up.
Made it.
Made it.
I'm saying it's getting closer.
TCU. Yeah. From a couple years ago, but everything else, it's been Georgia, Oklahoma. I wouldn't put in that conversation either. It's basically been Ohio State, Clemson, LSU 1 year, and that's pretty much it. So you're right. Like, having a little bit more parity at the top would help that argument, but it is also like, I look at Indiana this year based on who they've played and say, I think they can hang with Ohio State. Who else is left in the way? And going back to the point too about Coach Drinkwitz, if you're Mizzou, and I know that the conversation from Mizzou fans is like, well, they paid him this year. Yeah, they paid Cignetti last year too. When you have a coach that's a commodity, they're in the driver's seat. They control every opportunity. If another team calls, then it's all about the buyout and whether or not they feel like they can have a better option in play and if they have the budget to do it. So just because they paid him doesn't mean that he's going to stay. He has all the power right now if he's getting offers elsewhere. It's just a matter of whether or not Mizzou has the resources to be able to make it happen.
And I don't know if you agree with this, Ice, but to me it feels like this year is similar to what Cignetti went through last year, where let's say Missouri makes the playoff and Penn State comes with an offer. I think Drinkwitz leaves. Last year, Cignetti had just made the playoff and everything like that. They finally make it in. Best year in Indiana history. Mm-hmm. If Penn State were open last year and offered, I think Cignetti leaves. But the fact that he stayed, rebuilt another season where he is now inside of the top three, and not only got the extension, but it felt like he had solidified a baseline and a foundation for that program to succeed going forward. Missouri, I think they've had back-to-back 10 win seasons.
Yeah.
If they make the playoff this year and LSU were to come calling, I think he would leave and not think about it. If he stayed and Missouri made the playoff again, it feels like maybe that turns into a situation similar to Kurt Cignetti where he's like, you know what? Maybe I can win at Missouri. I don't need to go anywhere else. And this job has all of a sudden become one of the best ones in the country. Why would I leave and go rebuild something in Florida or try to clean up a mess at LSU where there's more pressure?
You got to deal with the governor there, too.
It is really interesting. Yeah, no kidding. It's interesting, though. Cignetti, if you look at what he's done compared to other coaches at big jobs, he has done this season already what James Franklin really never could do, and that's beat Oregon or beat a big team.
Win a game against a top-five team.
He already has done that. Brian Kelly, what did he do at LSU? He really didn't do much of anything. Cignetti's already done better or more, you could argue, during a regular season at Indiana than when Brian Kelly has done in a regular season at LSU to this point. Like, it feels like those jobs, and it's because of the coaches that the jobs are so good, I think, is the main point. Like, if Cignetti left Indiana, Indiana probably goes back to whatever it had been before. It's not like people are attached to the school as much as the head coach.
I would go to a deep, dark place if Cignetti were to.
I think that's the craziness of college football. Is that the coach does, it is one of the few sports where, like, the coach might mean as much as the players.
Nick Saban at Alabama, to a level. Alabama, of course, is still good with Kalen DeBoer, but their coach is the face of the program.
Nick Saban at LSU,
that's the way it's always been.
That's just because people leave in 2 or 3 years. And 100%. Now with transfer portal, sooner than that. You know, so like, you know, the coach is the face of it. But at this point, Cignetti's essentially indicated he's not leaving unless it's going to be for like one of those jobs. Because there are still, I will say,
it has to be Ohio State or Bama.
I was about
now.
To say, you can turn down Penn State in those. There's a couple that I have a hard time imagining. I like Alabama. I just don't think anybody turns that job down.
Honestly, it sounds crazy.
That, yeah, but
given what he's done, I can understand it.
Do you also want to follow a legend? I mean, that was what I was thinking about for Kalen DeBoer.
He would be following Kalen DeBoer, so he wouldn't be following
Kalen DeBoer. When Washington moved to the Big Ten, they would have been. I mean, it's a geographical disadvantage to be playing in Seattle and then having to have most of your games in the Big Ten. So I understand the move, but you're still trying to. It felt like a no win situation for him. You're replacing Nick friggin' Saban. Mm-hmm. Like you could have the James Franklin resume, which from all accounts was a very solid resume for, 12 years at Penn State?
Yep.
Like winning football every year? And
he had the fifth highest win percentage, I think, out of any current football coach, and he got canned.
Yeah. So, like, what exactly are you chasing? Mm-hmm. What is going to be good enough? I would love to see Drinkwitz stay at Missouri. I don't know if the resources will be there and if the offer comes in and he feels like he can take it and run with it. The other thing too about Cignetti, he's older.
Yeah.
64 years old. You know? It was like when K-State hired Chris Klieman. Like, I don't think he was that old, but this was somebody that probably wasn't looking to
Kansas
just jump.
Leipold. It didn't feel like somebody you were going to instantly lose.
Yes. Somebody that and again, I that's the honestly, the if you're looking for the next Cignetti, like find a guy that's been winning everywhere, not necessarily the next hot name at a bigger school. Find the guy who's got a program in place, who's had assistants stay with him forever, and be willing to move to that school once everything comes together, because they had stability even when most of their roster had turnover.
And college basketball worked with Ben McCollum too, so we'll see if whether or not, you know, that transfers outside of there. When we come back, we'll be talking to our NFL insider, Vinny Pasquantino. One, he can win a Silver Slugger tonight. But what does he think about all those Jets moves, man? Sauce and Quinnen Williams are gone.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
He's a husband, a dog dad, a first baseman, and a fantasy football commissioner.
Being a commissioner for the league is tough, and I'm really excited. I'm wearing a suit today.
He also likes to fill the bathtub with hard work and Jets tears.
I can't take any more disappointment. That's what he used to say when we watched the Jets games together.
But his most important job is being a Vin FL insider.
I haven't enjoyed a football season since 1969.
On 96.5 The Fan, here's Vinny Pasquantino.
Vinny, who usually joins us earlier in the week, had to get him a little bit later on in the week as he absorbed all the Jets news. Vinny, how are you doing? We'll talk some Jets here in just a second.
I'm doing great. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I hear you good. Loud and clear.
Okay. I'm in a car right now, so that's why I was wondering. Yeah, I'm doing fantastic. I'm in Richmond, Virginia at the current moment, back where I grew up, which is kind of cool. I haven't been back here in 5 years, and yeah, that's what I got.
So you went to your, because you were holding a baseball camp at your old high school, is that right?
That's right. We held a baseball camp at my high school. It was awesome. We had like 310 kids there. It was incredible. So it was a great turnout. All the proceeds go back to the high school baseball program, which is pretty special for me to do. So it was a really cool event.
Vinny, this is Ben Heisler. That's awesome that you're able to come back and have that. But knowing what I know about Richmond, which is very little, it's basically everybody's divided between what Richmond and VCU as far as the fan bases go. Is it anything like KU, Mizzou over here? Like where do you and your family fit in on it?
I guess I lost. Okay, I heard you talk about Richmond and VCU. What was the rest of the question?
Where does your family line up? Is it like as intense of a rivalry as it is here in Kansas City on the border war between, say, Kansas and Missouri?
Not really. Both of my parents went to VCU, so we liked them growing up. But the rivalry isn't crazy. Maybe I'm too far removed to know that it's bigger now than it was, but it wasn't really a both schools are very different, so it's not the same group of people going to both schools. Richmond's private, VCU's public, so very separate, not a whole lot of rivalry there.
Vinny, you had
sent just a lot of love.
Yeah, that's good.
Nice.
Yeah, that is nice. You sent me a video of trying to learn what 6-7 is amongst the kids. Did you ever figure it out, or did you just avoid saying it the rest of the weekend?
I kept saying it more because every time I'd say it, the kids would react so positively towards it. It might be the dumbest thing I've ever seen, but they love it. I guess when I was a kid, there was probably something that I said that everybody thought was stupid, but all of us as kids loved. I guess that's 6-7 now because it's really, really stupid.
Like, they get so excited when an adult says it.
I really don't understand why, but they started freaking out every time I say it.
Well, I think we're also going to be the ones to ruin it for the kids too. Like, right.
Yeah,
when we were kids, we had the different phrases. Like somebody would drop like a "what's up" or something like that. And then now we're going to be the one to take it away, to ruin the cool for what we used to be the ones that set the edge and set the trend for it. It's really a shame.
No, I like it. I think that's the way to go, is to ruin the trend by throwing it back in the kids' face and just becoming in the know on the trends of the kids these days and making them miserable.
Teach them a little something. I like it, Vinny. I want to talk to you about the Jets here in just a second, but are you winning a Silver Slugger tonight? Do they give you a heads up? How's this work?
If you get a heads up, I haven't been given one. So, So if that's the case, then I'm not winning it if they do give you a heads up. But it's an honor being in the final three. It's pretty cool to be, you know, obviously Nick Kurtz had he had a 1-something OPS at 36 homers. But it's, you know, it's cool to be up there. And we had four guys being nominated. So I would assume Bobby's going to win. And I think the other three of us have a chance, but it's, you know, it's obviously tough competition all the way around, but honor to be involved with the process.
Salvi's going to have a tough time against Cal Raleigh, probably, most likely, but he's also got one. So, like, you know, he's not like, he doesn't have an empty shelf.
Yeah. I think that's going to be a tough hurdle to climb for anybody. it's always cool to be, you know, cool to be talked about like that.
Just out of curiosity, I was going to ask you, what did you make of Salvador Perez being under contract? You send him a text?
I haven't talked to him yet. I'm going to see him here in about a week or so. So I'll talk to him then. I know he's always busy. So, I mean, it's obviously awesome for him. It's awesome for the organization. Anytime you've got a player that's been that ingrained with the organization for as long as he has, and you can reward him for that, especially as he gets a little bit older now, it's super cool. So seeing the organization take care of one of their own, that's obviously something that's super exciting.
Does our deal still stand that if you find out you get a contract, you'll tell me, even though I can't tell anyone, was your original agreement?
Yeah, if that happens, I'll text you immediately.
And then I'm not allowed to tell a soul, otherwise, you know, I've
breached trust.
We're going
to find out if you're in the trust tree or not.
Oh, wow.
Ooh, man, that's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
Okay. Not even my wife, right?
No, you can tell your wife. You can keep it in touch. The goal is actually going to be see how long until David Leskey finds out this information and tweets it out. I found out we got a new hitting coach thanks to him the other night on Twitter. I started getting sent that a lot. So that was cool. So that's kind of the order that we go in is when he starts tweeting it out, we know things are real.
He's a good friend of mine. He was very much in the know in your new hitting coach. I hope that he's a good fit for you.
Yeah, I hope so, too. I've talked to him. Seems like a good guy. And I'm excited to work with him.
Vinny, as somebody who got a chance to really soak in the postseason this year and just watching the overall season, I'm looking at the overall numbers of baseball and how, from a player's side, everything continues to come up Milhouse as far as the direction of the game, the overall product of the game, and we're seeing a really solid movement in a continued improved direction for baseball. And I wonder, as somebody who is on the forefront with the Players Union and with the Players Association, knowing that baseball continues to be on the upswing, how much is that something that you can go back to the owners and say, more than any time else, we are part of the reason why this is moving in the right direction and why we have really sort of the moral authority here to have the upper hand in some of these negotiations. Have you guys had any conversations as to where things are as far as any labor updates at this point?
Yeah, it's an ongoing process, obviously. I think everybody's preparing for what's going to happen next year. I'd like to reiterate that I think we have one of the best owners in our game and in sports. And I'm not just saying that because I play in Kansas City. I think some of the ideas that he has, I think some of the opinions he has about the game are pretty progressive and not necessarily a way a traditional owner would think about things. I'm not saying anything specific, but I think he's got the future of the game on his mind as well as the future of the players. Yeah, I think baseball is in a really good spot. I mean, when teams become available, they get bought immediately. So to sit here and pretend that teams aren't making money is a ridiculous thing to say. I thought it was a little disappointing that on one of the biggest sports podcasts in the world that a football player is going to talk about how the highest paid team in baseball won the World Series and how it was boring for him because of that, because it's kind of like how I talk about football on the radio with you guys every week. I'm ignorant on it. So the fact that one player or former player is going to talk about the relationship baseball has with its players and money, I thought was a little disappointing, because you would think players would want to support players. But yeah, I think baseball is in a really healthy spot, and I'm really hopeful that we can get to the negotiating table and really find ourselves in a better spot at the end of it.
Vinny, let's switch.
Go ahead.
Sorry, I thought.
No, go ahead. You go ahead.
I was going to say, let's switch over to football for a minute. I just wanted to hear your thoughts on the Jets deals. First off, do you like that they traded Sauce Gardner and Quinnen Williams? Do you think they got enough value? Where are you?
It's hard to say because they were 1-7, right? So they weren't a great football team to begin with. And anytime you can get two first round picks, if you're just looking at the value perspective of it, two first round picks and a young receiver feels like you're pretty good. And, you know, theoretically speaking, you move off of a lot of money, too, for a team that's not winning. Quinnen Williams, I think they kind of did him a solid a little bit, even though he did go to Dallas, who's not exactly blowing the world up with wins right now. But, I think it was probably time for them to make some picks make some moves looking towards the future, and they did it. And, we'll, you know, when we're talking in 3 years, we'll see where they're at, and then hopefully that's when I'll give my final grades on the trade. It's in like 3 years when all the picks have been made.
Do you want them to take those picks and just trade for a veteran quarterback rather than do the draft? So like I saw someone was saying they should try to go get Joe Burrow or Kyler Murray or any of these other guys. Are you interested in using those picks for a veteran quarterback or just draft one?
I'd like to make it clear that if those picks can get Joe Burrow, I'm all the way in.
They can have all five of them, I assume.
They might get more picks back for Kyler Murray.
I don't know if you've ever heard my theory on quarterbacks, but I'm pretty sure it's illegal within their collective bargaining agreement. But like, if I was a team, if I'm the Jets, I call the Chiefs and I say, "Hey, we would like Patrick Mahomes, and I'll give you every single first round pick until he retires. You can just have our first round pick every year until he retires, and you might be able to talk me into a second round pick too." You can have our first and second round pick for the rest of his career. And then when he retires, we get our picks back.
I mean, I don't think the Chiefs would take it. As a Chicago
Bears fan, Vinny, I would do that deal in a heartbeat. when Sid Luckman is still your all-time franchise leader in passing yards and touchdowns, you go ahead and make do with your first-round picks for, I don't know, 20 years if you need to. That seems like a completely reasonable deal.
Yeah, that's been always my theory about it, but I think there's some rule where you're not allowed to have a certain amount of picks or something.
I do want to ask you about being an athlete and then also being a diehard fan of a team like the Jets. Normally, I know it bothers a lot of folks when fans are almost rooting for their team to lose, try to tank, try to get themselves the best possible draft pick. Football, obviously, it's a little bit different than, say, like the NBA or Major League Baseball, where not necessarily the worst team every year is guaranteed to the number one pick. So how do you balance that of wanting the Jets to get the best possible pick, rebuild for the future in what appears to be a lost season, but also being a professional athlete and knowing the grind of showing up every day and busting your ass to try to get a dub?
I think it is because because I also play. I have no interest in the Jets losing every single game. None. If they could finish the season at 10-7, obviously that'd be great. But like, even if they finished, 5-12, whatever it would be, to me it shows at least they're still trying. Like, I think it would be so embarrassing to lose, 16, 17 games, whatever it is. Also, getting the number one pick doesn't mean you're getting the best player of the draft. There's been time and time again where the guy picked one isn't the best quarterback or the best player in that draft. I think it comes down to your scouting, your player development, how you're making players better. Obviously, the player matters probably the most in terms of, percentage-wise, probably the most percentage of what's going to make a guy good. But the best organizations seem to draft the best players because they bring them in and they develop them. So I just want them to turn into something like that.
Vinny, last night the Broncos got to 8 wins. They're now 8-2. Bo Nix led the charge. Not led the charge. He was not very good. The Chiefs have the Broncos next week, and I know you'll get asked about it next week, obviously, when you come on the show, but I'm having a hard time taking the Broncos serious, even though they're 8-2. You see something I don't see in them?
Well, the defense is really good. But they remind me of that Steelers team a few years ago. That was like undefeated and then lost in the first round of the playoffs or second round of the playoffs, whatever it was. If you're the Chiefs and you have to go to whatever their field is called, obviously we hate the Broncos, so I don't know what their field's called.
I don't remember now. Mile High, we can just call it by its old name.
Is it like Lumen something? Lumen, or is that Seattle?
Lumen might be in Seattle. Was it like Invesco Field at Mile High, Empower Field? It's somewhere along those lines.
But if you're the Chiefs, you got to go there for a playoff game. Are you scared as a fan? Probably not. That's how I feel about them. They're still going to be in my top five because their record says they should be. But in my eye test, they're not in my top five.
All right, let's get to that, Vinny. Let's get to your power rankings. Your 1-5 in the NFL as it sits right now. Who are the five as you see it right now?
Okay, hold on. I wrote a text out so I could see. Okay. These are based off of, this is my analytic team has not gone through this list.
Okay.
This is my what have you done for me this season / what are my general vibes around your team list.
All right.
At number one, I'm putting the Los Angeles Rams.
Ooh.
At number two, I'm putting the Buffalo Bills. At number three, I'm putting the New England Patriots. At four, I'm putting the Seattle Seahawks. And at five, just because I have to, because their record says they're the best team in the league, I'm putting the Denver Broncos.
I think it's the first time all year you haven't had the Chiefs in their top five. That Bills loss knocked them out, huh?
I just need the Chiefs to be at least the seventh seed this late in the season. I need them to be in the playoffs.
That's fair.
It's weird to see them. Like, it is funny, as it should be. They're just talked about as if, like, yep, all right, when the playoffs come, you got to get in first. You know, got to get to that seventh seed before we can get in.
All right, those are Vinny's power rankings. Rams, Bills, Patriots, yeah, Seahawks, and Broncos.
And those are so subject to change. When I get out of the car, it might change. So.
You're not married to that at all.
But do you want to go through my worst?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I do want your bottom five. Who are your bottom five?
The Raiders. They stink. Yeah, this is all vibes. Can the Broncos both be in the top five and the bottom five? Is that possible?
Based on the way, hatred, maybe. Yes.
Yeah. I didn't even know they were playing last night. It was like 8:30, and I realized there was a football game on.
Broncos barely knew they were playing.
Couldn't watch it anywhere because didn't have my iPad, so I didn't have my Amazon Prime, like Prime Video or whatever, and I didn't care that much to watch it.
You didn't miss anything. Don't worry about
it. The Jets are on there. The Saints are on there. The Titans are definitely on there. Those are my five. The Broncos, Titans, Saints, Jets, and Raiders.
I like that the Broncos get both lists. You know, you get it. You got to hate Broncos. It's not Broncos week yet because of the bye.
Right, the graphic.
Also, hey, by the way, the Kansas City Current have a playoff game this weekend.
I know.
Sunday.
We're getting ready to. If you can head over to our Instagram page and actually win one of the Shawinga bobbleheads from the game. Are you going to go?
I was going to go, but because I fly back and I land in Nashville at 7:20 a.m., I was thinking about just hopping on another flight to Kansas City to go to the game, but that's a tough sell. And also, I'm terrified that my flights are going to get delayed or canceled.
Yeah, that's a real fear at the moment.
Flying right now is not necessarily easy because I don't have any control over it, but there's a little bit of anxiety with the flying right now with what's going on.
Well, we hope to see you in town soon, Vinny. Enjoy the rest of your Friday, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday. Is ideally your top five will change some five or six different ways by then.
Yeah, perfect. Thanks.
Thanks, Vinny.
Vinny Pasquantino, Royals first baseman, and actually has a chance at winning a Silver Slugger tonight. He's one of the three finalists. It's him, Nick Kurtz, and Vlad Guerrero Jr., who are the finalists for the award. He actually finished with more RBI and more hits, I believe, than Vlad. And he hit 30 home runs, so he'll have a chance at least at the award. Kurtz is actually maybe a bit more of the challenge in there. Salvi has no chance. He's up against Cal Raleigh, who will be winning the Silver Slugger at catcher this year.
Yeah, 264, 32 home runs, 113 stakes.
He's got a good chance to win it tonight.
But doesn't it feel like his season, and again, maybe my perspective is entirely different, but it does feel like it was not discussed on a national level. The way that it should have been.
I think if the Royals were a playoff team, it would have been different, and they would have discussed it more. And unfortunately, because they came up a little bit short, that hurt them. I did mention this, but go to 96.5thefan.com for your chance to win an exclusive limited edition Casey Kern bobblehead of star forward Temwa Chawinga, presented by H&R Block, celebrating 70 years of tax expertise with hometown roots in the soccer capital of America, and also happens to be Benny Heiss's employer. You can head to 96.5thefan.com to have a chance to do it. I believe we've got a dozen of them over there. And look, I'm really excited. The KC Current are one of the, if they complete the title, they will go down as probably the single greatest team in NWSL history. They have been a dominant force. Points record. They got the number one seed a month ago, and we're just getting ready to do the quarterfinals this weekend. So I'm really excited about the KC Current game. No Chiefs game. Happening at 11:30. Perfect
national
time.
Home game.
All that stuff. So going to be a really great time. You want a chance to get it. That Chawinga bobblehead. Going for some big bucks.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't go on eBay. Instead, try to win it right here on 96.5 The Fan. Because this is it's a collector's item. And I'll just say it's starting to be priced like a collector's item.
Kurt sent me one and now I feel like I'm sitting on gold.
Yeah. It's like, oh, my kids already opened their boxes because we were at the game on Sunday. And I feel like somebody cut the tag off of the Beanie Baby. And you're just like, no, why did you
want to see it? So, but my daughter ripped the box on mine too. So kids, man, you know, I hadn't even opened it yet. It was just sitting on the table. And my daughter was like, well, I want to see what it looks on the inside. It's not very gentle when opening, apparently, a bobblehead.
By the way, you were talking about how incredible their year has been. They have not lost at home,
nope.
Which is fairly remarkable.
Well, they'll be on Sunday.
Their goal differential is 36. The second best team in the sport is 10. That's insane.
Yeah. It's been...
They're so good.
They only lost or tied 5 matches this year. They straight up won every other match they played. And so, like, I mean, again, I just like... And people are like, it's cold. That's just what playoffs are in...
If this were a Chiefs game, you'd be talking about how awesome of a weather day it is, that it's not in the 20s or the teens or the negatives. And it's going to be in the middle of the day. It's going to be a sunny day. Like I went out for a game last week for Fan Appreciation Day when, of course, Block had sponsored the bobbleheads. Had an absolute blast. I cannot recommend going any more than what it was like. There's so many goals. They play really fast, and it's just a good vibe and a good stadium experience out there. So yes, it's I believe it's kansascitycurrent.com/playoffs if you want to get tickets.
Yeah, why not? And then yeah, head over to our page if you want a chance at the Shawinga bobblehead. There's 10 of them, and they only made 5,000 of them.
That is correct.
And I can't, like, it's their first bobblehead, and I would just say that there aren't that many in general, like women's sports, which are still in their growth phase in the United States. Like, first ever stadium, right? There isn't
enough setting the merch trend
for that. Although I want to go to the... Have you been to the Dub yet? The women's sports bar? I really want to go. I
want to go as well. Well, especially because that's... if you guys ever follow some of the stuff I put out on Twitter and X, women's sports for betting is where it's at.
Oh, really?
That's where the money is to be made, my friend.
Haven't been paying any attention. I guess I need to get in on the game.
100%. Yeah, I do a whole show, but I wouldn't come back.
That's where the cash is, huh?
That's where the cash is.
I don't know. Sports Talk on 96.5 The Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. When we come back, we're going to look at the AFC playoff field. I just asked Vinny who his Power 5 teams are. If I made you say who the 7 teams are in the AFC in order, what would they be? Ooh. We'll take a look at that. Plus, Heisler's got a few future prices for us. We're going to play a little player pass coming up next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm for sure.
That's it.
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. And my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.